first song we'll be singing this morning is Holy, Holy, Holy from 190 in the Behold Songbook.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy.
Amen. And of course, there is none holy as the Lord.
There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee. Like our God, there is none holy as the Lord.
Amen. The law of the Lord is perfect,
the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, and the honeycomb. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and the honeycomb.
Amen. At this time, we'll change the order of service to prayer. We want to continue to pray for Brother Vail and his health, and also Sister Rebecca Smith, Brother Branham's daughter, and the wife of Brother George Smith. We pray that the Lord would relieve her and deliver her from the condition that she has. Also for my mother, and also Sister Diana Gatchell's mother, who broke their shoulders in the fall. For the brethren overseas, as well as the brethren in Brazil, and the meetings there, which will be the next ones that are scheduled. Do we have any other prayer requests you'd like to mention? Yes. Your parents?
My grandfather, he prayed yesterday. So.
All right. We want to continue to pray. All right. Brother David, would you take these requests before the Lord?
Answer his prayer request from Brother Ryan, Brother Enoch, from the request of brothers in this congregation. We see you fulfilled, and we have come under great expectation in the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything else will fall in line.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia.
Amen. Number 204, Within the Veil.
Within the veil I now have come. upon thy face. I see such beauty here, none other can compare. I worship thee, my Lord, within the veil, within the veil. I now have come into thy holy place. I looked upon thy face. I see such beauty here, none other can compare. I worship thee, my Lord, within the veil.
Amen. If Brother Ron and Brother Steve would come forward at this time. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for all you've given us, Father. We're grateful for this opportunity to give back to you this day, this time and offering. We ask you to bless us and set it for your glory in Jesus' name.
Amen. If we'd all stand to our feet and we'll sing the Angel of the Lord's favorite song, Only Believe.
Only believe, only believe, all things are possible, only believe, only believe, only believe, for all things are possible, only believe. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here, and all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we are so grateful, Lord, that you are here, for knowing that the moment that you depart the earth, the rapture will be in place and over. That which holds back will be gone. And as Brother Branham said, I wouldn't want to spend 5 seconds in the tribulation. So, Father, we're grateful that you have come not only to gather together your elect, but to take us home, to meet our older brother, Jesus, to incarnate him again, that we might crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, knowing that the King shall indwell the Prince, bringing forth the King into manifestation for a millennium and for all eternity. And so, Father, we commit ourselves to that which you have given to us, a great message in this hour, a shout, which is a military command, which is to gather together your elect to change the mind, that the body might change. For Brother Branham said, when word is piled upon word, it'll take a hold of every fiber of the body. Father, we're looking for that great transformation, knowing that it is already in place, for the mind is being renewed daily. The outer man may perish, but the inner man is being renewed by your Spirit. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, the body of Jesus Christ, in which the whole family is named. Father, be with us today in service. We pray that you would anoint our ears to hear. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning I would like to address our thoughts again from Brother Ram's sermon, The Masterpiece. This will be number 97 in our series. I'd like to subtitle this, Geared to the Gullibility of Those Who Are Perishing. And we'll read from paragraph 177 and 179. We will not read from 178 this morning because we actually took that in Masterpiece number 19 or number 95, which we called The Solitary God. So I'm picking up at paragraph 177, we read, the other day standing up here at the Christian Businessmen, many of you, I guess, was there, when I heard that Lutheran preacher or priest or preacher or what was supposed to be, stand up there and say that ridiculous thing and make fun of what we believe in. And them full gospel businessmen having that man there and saying that. And he wore his collar turned around, and lots of them do now. And he said, now the people asked me why I turned my collar around. And he said, how can they tell you from a Catholic priest? And he said, there is no difference and there shouldn't be. He said, we're all God's children. And he said, I know a Catholic priest that's omnipresent. See, that could be present everywhere. Now then in paragraph 178, Brother Brown dealt with the concept of what is omnipresent, and he showed that the only way that you can be omnipresent is that you're omniscient. And we cover that in Masterpiece 95 called The Omnipresent by Omniscient or The Solitary God. Now notice that Brother Branham is not too happy about what this Lutheran minister is saying to the full gospel businessmen, or even the fact that he's up there addressing them. And so let's read again paragraph 179 where Brother Branham said, what is it? It's the devil taking them right straight to the slaughter. Every one of them going in. Exactly what the Bible said, and here it is, see? Come right in amongst the Pentecostals and just pull them right straight, just as, what a time. I guess Brother Brown was kind of exasperated, because he just couldn't find words. And then he went on in the last paragraph, actually, the next paragraph, which we'll get to at the very end, but he said, oh, after that testimony, someone said to me, it's a good thing that I didn't say very much because they'd probably have me in jail up there. But I just thought, there it is, the people who's taught knows. The wise shall know their God in that day. It said in Daniel, yes, sir, see, the wise shall know their God. They're watching for these things. So, you see, Brother Branham was kind of made fun of because he had an eighth grade education. He didn't have, you know, some big college degree or doctor of divinity or one of these things. And yet, as Brother Branham kind of put it, well, the wise shall know. And the Bible tells us in John 6 and 45 that all that come to God must first be taught of God. And so if they're not willing to learn from God, they won't come. Now, I'd like to stop for a moment and look at what scriptures Brother Branham is referring to when he said that, it's the devil taking them right straight to the slaughter. Every one of them are going in. Also, these thoughts here that Brother Branham is saying are not easy words to speak on because they concern people being lost and left for the destruction and left for the tribulation that's coming upon the earth. And I'm sure it is not an easy thing for him to say either, but he had to say it. But just always remember the Lord's ways are always difficult ways. They're not easy ways. But he seeketh only those who would obey him and say what he has already said. And Brother Branham said, the bride will come to the place where she has, thus saith the Lord, or she'll keep still. And it's not like the Pentecostals think that, well, whatever comes to their imagination, they say, thus saith the Lord, and they're hoping that it's God. No, thus saith the Lord is what God has said. So if the bride has, thus saith the Lord, she has what God has already said. And we have it. We have the message. We have the Bible. We have the words of God. Now, these brothers that, let me just say this. Brother Branham is referring to these people being led to the slaughter, every one of them going in. And I'd like to bring out the scripture where he's bringing that from. It's in 2 Peter, the second chapter. But before we read this, I would just like to say that the first time I really studied this scripture, I was going to a minister's meeting in a certain place in 1983, and there was to be a whole bunch of ministers who claimed to believe the presence of Christ and those things which Brother Vail had been teaching concerning the ministry of Christ and Brother Branham's ministry. But now these brothers really didn't believe what Brother Vail was teaching back then, neither do they believe today. But it was convenient to their own ministries to claim to be in the circle that Brother Vail was in, just like it was convenient for the full gospel businessmen to invite Brother Branham to help them open up their new chapters or their branches of their organizations.
But once they built their congregations, they had no more use for either of these men of God. This is exactly what happened. They used Brother Branham to build up all their chapters across the United States. He was invited to for the opening ceremonies of almost every one of them, and invited to speak at each one of them, a big draw crowd, you know, a big draw card. But after Brother Branham helped establish them, they just slid right back into this, the Great Delusion, let's face it. When I told Brother Vail that I was thinking about going to that particular minister's meeting, he at first tried to talk me out of going, but then he changed his mind. He said, well, listen, before you go, I want you to read 2 Peter, the second chapter. And then when you go, keep your ears open for such and such a thing. And I won't tell you what that such and such a thing was because it's not important for the sermon. But I agreed to do so because I would have done so anyway. The next time that they met at the same place, he also warned me not to go to those meetings. He said because they were going to try to do away with his ministry. And so, of course, the thing came up that they were going to talk about how there is no more fivefold ministry, that it was just, you know, left to pastors. And so I didn't go to that one at that time. But now at the time of the first meeting, I might have been young in my ministry, having been pastor of this church for just 1 year, and I was only 30 years old at the time. But believe me, I was not stupid concerning what was going on amongst the brethren. Because one of the first things I learned sitting under Brother Vail's ministry was Alpha must repeat in Omega. And so when you look in Omega and see what's going on in this hour, you see the spirits and the people and the churches, the pride in the ministry and all these things, you take it back to the Alpha and you can actually put a label on what it is. And so I'd like to read from 2 Peter, the second chapter. And beginning of verse 1, he says, "But as there were false prophets among the people, even so shall there be," that means future tense, "false teachers among you." So you see that as there were in the past times that there were false prophets among the people, we're talking about in Israel, he's telling us that in the future, in the end time, there will be false teachers among the people. Notice what else he taught that we're to look for concerning these false teachers. He says, "Who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them." Now, if they are going to bring in, then they had to get it from somewhere else outside the message in the first place. So they will bring in their own teachings, which are not message teaching, which are not the teachings of a vindicated prophet. And that will lead them to denying the one that bought them. Now, who paid the price? Jesus paid the price. Who is Jesus? The Son of God. So they will end up denying the Son of God, the price that was paid. Now, if they're going to bring in, then they got it from somewhere else outside the message. The Weiss translation puts it this way: "But as there arose false prophets among the people, even also among you, there shall be false teachers who will be of such a character to bring in alongside of true doctrine destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who purchased them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their licentious conduct to its consummation, on account of whom the way of truth will be reviled." And of course, they go around saying that we believe in two gods, and making up all kinds of false accusations, because the Bible tells us they would do it, because on account of whom the way of truth will be reviled. So these men who will deny the Son will bring into disrepute or try to come against the character of those who teach it right. Now, these men will come into the message and give a wrong understanding of the Word of God, and the people will be caught up into what these evil men say, or these men say as evil interpreters of the Word of truth. Notice verse 3, "And in a sphere of covetousness, with fabricated words, they will exploit you." Now, what's a fabricated word? Huh? Made up. If it's made up, then what is it?
Fake.
Okay, if it's fake, what is it? It's a lie. It's a lie. They will come in lying, saying, and I've heard it for years, "Well, Brother Vail's teaching two gods." And I say, "Have you ever heard him preach?" "No, I haven't." "Then how can you say he's preaching two gods?" Why would you make that up? Why would you say things about another person's character, assassinating that person's character, if it's not true, if you don't even know, if you haven't heard it firsthand? It's like the men that tried to assassinate Brother Branham's character, saying all kinds of evil against him. They never even met the man, never heard a sermon. And in a sphere of covetousness, what is covetousness? Covet. Thou shalt not covet. There's a lot of things you're not supposed to covet. Thy neighbor's goods, thy neighbor's wife. In a sphere of covetousness, wanting. You see, the truth, if the truth were allowed into their churches, it would cut down on their revenue. It would cut down on their tithe. Because people don't want the word. Most people don't. Only the elect does. And with fabricated words, they will exploit you. Who's the you he's talking to? For whom from ancient times their judgment has not been idle. Now this licentious conduct is their pattern. They do not follow the pattern that Jesus set forth to be followed, or the pattern that Paul gave as a true steward of the good word of God. No, these men will have a licentious nature. And the word licentious means lacking moral discipline or ignoring legal restraint. You know, if you lie about a person, that's legal restraint that they're ignoring. Because we have laws that say, you know, that you shall not commit a libel, you shall not slander. Lacking moral discipline or ignoring legal restraint, especially in sexual conduct. Having no regard for accepted rules or standards. Like lying and telling completely false statements in order to bring the way of truth into disrepute, saying things against the character of the prophet of God, or the character of Brother Vail, as one who was indicated by the prophet to know the doctrine, and that Brother Branham said himself, if any man or any ministry have any questions concerning the doctrine, ask Lee Vail, but they don't want to know it. I'm not here to preach Brother Vail, because they say the same thing about me. But the fact is that God indicated the man. He said, if you have any questions concerning the doctrine, he didn't say that about, well, I won't even mention the other minister's names, but he didn't say that about anybody else. He didn't trust the writing of the church age book into the hands of anybody else. No, instead they make up lies against Brother Vail, against the church age book, his ministry, even to the point of telling others that he preaches two gods because he's not a Unitarian like they are. Now let's take a look at this scripture, because there are several points that I would like to focus on that Peter is telling us, he's warning us, that will take place at the end time. Notice this is, but as there arose false prophets among the people, even as also among you there shall be false teachers. So we are told that there is to come a phenomena of false teachers that are to come in amongst the end time church. Now we must know to whom he's talking if we are to understand whom these false teachers will be addressing or coming into the midst of. Now notice in 2 Peter, this is a separate epistle from 1 Peter, written at a different time. He says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. So he's not talking about the Catholics, he's not talking about the Lutheran, he's not talking about the Episcopalian or the Methodist or the Pentecostal. He's talking about them that have obtained like precious faith, the same faith as the apostles. Now, the Apostle Paul warned us of the same thing. He said there would be a falling away from the faith, not just from faith. In Hebrews 6 and verse 4, he says, for it is impossible for those who were once for all enlightened. Now, there's only one time that there has been a once for all enlightenment, and that's when God said, I shall restore, saith the Lord. And that is this hour when God himself has come to restore. And they have tasted of the heavenly gift. Now we know that the heavenly gift is the Holy Spirit himself. And they were made partakers. And that word partaker actually means companions, or ones called alongside of. So they were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Companions of the Holy Ghost. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses. Notice the Holy Spirit has come in this hour. They were made companions. They were made partakers. The gift of the Holy Ghost was standing in their midst. God proved it was His own Spirit because of the discernment. The Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That wasn't William Branham's trick. That wasn't some gift that he had. That was the gift, the heavenly gift, the Word Himself that discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. And they were made partakers of that, companions of that, walking alongside of that, watching it, seeing it, tasting of the good Word of God and the power of the world to come. And this word, world, to come, it speaks of the coming age. Some translations say, and the powers of the coming age. Well, what's the coming age? It's the millennium. In what ministry outside of that of William Branham have we ever seen the powers of the coming age? Bulls, who are known to kill, turning away at just the word of a man. Squirrels spoken into existence. Bees turning. Possums coming for prayer. Storms turned back by the word of a man. That is millennial power if we've ever seen it. Having fallen away, it is impossible for them to ever come to a change of the mind. Falling away from what? From watching and observing the presence of God in the midst of the people and the millennial power associated with that ministry. Having fallen away from that, it is impossible for them to ever come to a change of the mind. The Bible says repentance. That's a change of the mind. Seeing that they crucify to themselves the Word of God? Is that what it says? God the Father? Is that what it says? It says the Son of God afresh. And put Him to an open shame. Now let me say something. The Son of God is not here. God Himself descended with a shout. The Lord Himself descended with a shout. So if Jesus, the Son of God, is not here, how do they crucify Him? They're not. It doesn't say they're crucifying Him. It says they're crucifying to themselves the Son of God afresh. Now, in what other age has the Son of God been in what other age has the Son of God been done away with as He has been done away with in this age? The Son of God was not done away in the Catholic Church, although they did make Him the God the Son. Through the church ages, they believed in a Father, a Son, and a Holy Ghost. And they got the Holy Ghost and the Father wrong because God is holy. He is the Holy Ghost. But at least they had in their mind that there was a Son. But in this hour, they've completely done away. Look, the oneness of Unitarianism, really, it was began back there at Nicaea. It was conquered by the Trinitarians, but it came back strong in the end time. Alpha has become Omega. And in this hour, they've done away with the Son. They're crucifying to themselves the Son of God because they can't crucify Him again. So they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh. Now, what is crucifixion for? It was to kill. With a very hard death. And so, using lies and all kinds of contraptions, they have decided they would crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and they don't even know they're doing it. You see, they're so caught up into Unitarianism that Jesus was His own Father. Brother Ram said He wasn't. Brother Ram said Jesus and God were not one like your fingers one. Brother Ram said Jesus was a dual being because God was indwelling Him. He said the reason why God and Jesus were one is because God is the Word and Jesus manifested that Word. That's why Jesus said, I pray, Father, that they may be one, even as, in the same manner, as You and I are one. Now, how can we be one with God in the same manner that Jesus was one with God, if Jesus was one like your fingers one. You see, so they make up these things like we're all going to become God. Now God's in his church. Well, let me tell you something. God's not in his church. God's in his word. And when we get lofty and proud and begin to think that we are God, we've gone full circle back to Satan. Because Satan, in the very beginning, what was the lie that he told before he told it to Eve? When he was in heaven, he said he made himself equal with God. He got lifted up in his pride and made himself equal with God. And what did he come down? He came down to Eve, and what did he say? He said, "Thou shalt not surely die." Why shalt thou not surely die? He said, because he said, God knows in that day you eat thereof, then you will be equal with God. You see, the same lie now, they're saying the same thing. They pour the three tumblers of water and they say, all was in the Father, poured in the Son, get rid of the Father. All was in the Son, poured in the church, get rid of the Son, and now God is in his church. That's hogwash. That is a lie. God life was in his Son. God life is in you and I. And God himself was in his Son as well. That's why the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily in the man, not in the church, in the man. Christ Jesus. Now, what other age has the Son of God been done away with, as he has been done away in this age, and amongst the people who claim to have witnessed the millennial power and the presence of the Holy Ghost, and as no other age has witnessed it? And all these things that Paul is talking about here that could not have come in any other time as they come in this hour through this ministry of this end time prophet of God. And we are told that they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh. It does not say they actually crucify him, but to themselves they do. They won't even admit that God had a son. They say that God was his own son, or that Jesus was his own father, and they crucify the Son of God to themselves. That is the key here. To themselves they do it. Even to the point where I received an email from a brother from Lima, Peru. He said two ministers from Trinidad came over to Peru when they gathered the ministers together and they were going to teach them, and they told them that the things that I was teaching, the things that Brother Vail were teaching, we were teaching two gods. To the point where now the brothers down there, except for those that see it, but all the rest of the ministers have decided to boycott those brothers, not even talk to them. And in what they said, the brothers told me, was that they said that they will not even read or use those quotes where Brother Branham talked about God being the Father of Jesus and Jesus being the Son of God. So they are going to have to do a lot of clipping out of this message, just like they have to do a lot of clipping out of their Bible. They're going to have a holy Bible, but not... not one that's sanctified is going to be full of holes. Because one word off is Satan's kingdom. And one word off brings tribulation. And that's what Brother Brown's talking about. They allowed the full gospel businessmen, allowed the Trinitarians to come in, allowed the Lutheran priest or preacher, whatever he was called, Brother Brown said, who cares? He said he wasn't telling the truth. And the people opened themselves up to that lie. And Brother Branham said that they're all headed for destruction. Those are pretty strong words, especially from a vindicated prophet. It's one thing for people to get hot-headed and mad at each other and use strong words. But for a vindicated prophet of God speaking as the mouthpiece of God, to say that all of them are heading for destruction, those are quite drastic but true words. They won't even admit that God had a son. They say that God was his own son, which I just don't understand where they're coming from. You see, this does not say that they will actually crucify the Son of God afresh, but to themselves they will do it. They deny the Son, and to deny the Son, they must deny the Father. That's what John said in 1 John 2:23. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. And Paul teaches us that they bring upon themselves their own destruction in doing so. Now, we spent 45 sermons showing you the benefits of the Son of God to us, but those benefits are given only to those who believe in the Son of God. All who do not believe in the Son of God and would deny that God had a Son are not given even one of those blessings and benefits from God. Verse 7, "For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them, by whom it is dressed receiveth blessings from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. You see, we are living in the time of Deuteronomy chapter 28. Blessings and cursings. And the blessings come by hearkening to the voice of the Lord thy God. And the cursings come by not hearkening, not paying attention to the voice of the Lord thy God. And Paul teaches us that they will bring upon their own destruction in doing so. And Peter said the same thing about those who would deny the Son of God. In 2 Peter 2 and verse 3, he said, "Who will be of such a nature as to bring in alongside of true doctrine destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who purchased them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many, not a few, many shall follow their licentious conduct to its condemnation, consummation. On account of whom the way of truth will be reviled, and in the sphere of covetousness with fabricated words they will exploit you, from whom or for whom from ancient times their judgment has not been idle." So we see that destruction is what follows those who would turn down the Son of God. And that is what Brother Branham was saying about the Pentecostals and the full gospel businessmen who turned down this once for all enlightenment. Paragraph 179. What is it? It's the devil taking them right straight to that slaughter, every one of them going in. Exactly what the Bible said, and here it is, see? Come right in amongst the Pentecostals and just pull them right straight. What a time. Yeah, what is the time? It's a time of delusion. Notice he said it's taking them right straight to the slaughter. If that isn't destruction, I don't know what is. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 6, Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 2, and Jude tells us the same thing in chapter 1. Jude 1 and verse 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of a common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Now notice Jude speaks of the faith, not faith in general, but the faith. And Paul tells us in Ephesians 4 that there's only one faith. And William Branham told us in the rapture sermon that faith is revelation. Therefore, there is only one revelation, and that is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul said, one revelation, one Lord. One faith, one Lord. Now, notice in verse 4, Jude tells us the same thing Peter tells us and Paul tells us. "For there are certain men crept in unawares." Crept into where? Well, that's the question. "Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God, and Brother Branham taught us, I mean, I didn't learn it in school, I wasn't too good in grammar in school, but I remember when Brother Branham said, and is a conjunction, I learned that, and is a conjunction, he said it links two things. And Jude tells us that they are denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Why are they denying the Lord God? You know why? Because if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. So if you deny the Son, you've got to deny that God is a Father. Then you're denying God. You see where it all wraps up. They're worshiping the God of their imagination. Now these men not only deny the Lord, but they deny His Son as well. He says, "I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward were destroyed them that believed not." So you see what is left for those who believe not. There remains only destruction for them to look forward to. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 18, Paul warns us. He said, "Who concerning the truth have erred?" Who concerning the truth, not just truth, the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Now I don't see people denying the resurrection amongst the Pentecostals, amongst the Baptists, amongst those mainstream. But I do see people denying the resurrection even in this message, because there's people that believe that we're already in the millennium. Not only in America, but in Africa. I've run across it many places. They believe we're in the millennium. And I said to the brothers over there, I said, can you imagine that? I said, people getting eaten up by lions over here. And I said, children dying daily from malaria. And men killing each other with swords and with machetes. And I said, and this is the millennium? I said, you can have it. I don't want it. If this is what the millennium is, I don't want it. I'd rather just die and go back to gases or something else. I wouldn't want a millennium that's full of death and defilement and all these things, because that's not what it is. As Brother Vail said, if this is a squeeze, then give me 1,000 years of good health. If this is a millennium, Paul said we might as well just eat, drink, and be merry if there's no resurrection. Because if this is a millennium, then where's the resurrection? Oh, they say, well, Brother Branham's walking around the earth right now. Yeah, where? Show me. If he is, buddy, you missed it. We all missed it. Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already. That same spirit back in Alpha, repeating itself in Omega. Ephesians 4:13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. And he gave some apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers for the perfecting of the church, for the maturing of the church. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Now, how are we going to come into the unity of the faith if we all have our own opinion of what the faith is? You see, there's only one the faith, and that's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And if we're preaching about everything else but Jesus Christ, we'll never come into a unity of the faith. And if we got our own thinking, then we'll never accept God's thinking. He said, my thoughts are above your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. So we've got to have God's word on it. We've got to have God's mind on it. And the only way you're going to have that is let your own thinking go and receive, thus saith the Lord, from a vindicated prophet. 2 Timothy 3:8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, how did they withstand Moses? They tried to do the same thing. How do they withstand Brother Branham? Well, they go around acting like they're little Brother Branhams. One minister had the audacity to say, well, when Brother Branham came on the field, he guessed. Well, the same vindicated prophet said, it's a million miles beyond a guess. How can thus saith the Lord be a guess? Well, to the Pentecostals, it is a guess. Now, come on. How many were ever amongst the Pentecostals in here? You know that they go around and they feel, they got impressions, they got feelings, and they say, thus saith the Lord. Or the Lord told me to tell you. Or the Lord said, the Lord spoke to me. Oh, he did? Since when did you become vindicated? We've had vindication in this hour. We had infallible vindication in this hour. Never missing. As Brother Brand told Brother Vail. Brother Vail, years and years ago, he would pray for the sick. Sometimes he'd have discernment. Brother Brand said, was it 100%, Brother Vail? He said, no. He said, it was pretty good, but not 100%. Brother Brand said, leave it alone. Now, why would Brother Brand tell him to leave it alone? Because if you've got people going around doing it, trying to discern, trying to do these other things, it's taking away, just as Jannes and Jambres tried to do with Moses. You see, when Moses threw that rod down, it became a serpent. It put a little fear in the Pharaoh. But when Jannes and Jambres threw theirs down, they became serpents also. He said, maybe this isn't so bad after all. So every time Moses spoke in a vexation or a curse came upon the people, a plague came upon the people, Jannes and Jambres were able to make frogs and all the different plagues come on as well. And Brother Bram said they could do it, but they couldn't take it away. And man today is bringing forth the plagues. They're bringing forth AIDS and mad cow disease and all these other things, but they're not going to be able to take it away. But the elect of God were tucked away in Goshen, where God was watching over them and taking care of them. 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, while which some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So it's money. It all comes back to money. If I can get a big congregation of 1,000 people, just think how much money I'd have. Well, how are you going to get there? Well, I'm going to have to not talk doctrine. I'm going to have to just say nice things, speak nice to people. I'm going to have to tickle their ears. I'm going to have to build a big choir and a real nice music ensemble. Get the best musicians to come to the church. Then we can attract the people, and then there's more money in the pot. It's exactly what's going on. Don't try to hide it. These people that talk nice and soft and sweet and everything else, listen, you're going to find out next week when we get into the next few verses, if you want to check it out. Brother Branham said, you know, they accuse you, Brother Branham, of being nasty to the people, talking hard to the people. And he said, yeah. He said, a man came up to him right after that meeting. He said, Brother Branham, it's a good thing you didn't talk. You'd be in jail right now. He said, Brother Branham, I have one thing against you. He said, every time you talk to the people, you're bawling them out. And Brother Branham said, I stood there and I said, Lord, give me an answer for this man. He said, then it came to me. And I said to him, you ever study Beethoven? And the man said, yes, I've studied Beethoven. I know his life. He said, then you were aware that Beethoven, before he compiled his music, before he finished his music, he scrapped tons and tons of paper. He'd go out and he'd write it and he'd play it. Didn't like it, he'd throw it away. He said, God just shut the man's mouth. He said, because Brother Brown said, because before he produced his masterpiece, there was a lot of scrapping that took place. Yes. There's got to be a lot of whittling away, a lot of nicking here, nicking there, taking the imperfections. And you're not going to get that by speaking soft and kind words. You're not going to get that by kissing babies and telling everybody, well, Lord bless you, my brother. Oh, so nice. Isn't he nice? But what's he doing for the people? As a minister said to me in Uganda, he said, why'd you come here and stir up the people? I said, were the people stirred? He said, everywhere they're stirred. I said, that's good. He said, are you proud of it? I said, well, not proud, but I said, the fact is that I said, if the people weren't stirred, then God didn't send me. Because everywhere that Paul went, everywhere Jesus went, the Bible said there was no small stir. And physically, by force, they were so angry, they wanted to stone Jesus. How many times? How many times did they take Paul and stone him or throw him out of the city? Even to the point where they were so angry at Paul, a bunch of men took a pact that they weren't even going to eat until they killed him. So God had to allow him to be let down by a basket out of the city. You think my words are hard? I think Brother Vail's words are hard. Brother Bram's words are hard. I haven't been shot at yet. Lord willing, God will protect me from that. They took shots at Brother Branham. They had snipers waiting in the city down in Mexico, they did. Remember the story Brother Branham tells about? The Catholic Church had snipers waiting for him. They had to bring him in through a crowd of men. They had to keep him in the middle of all these men so they wouldn't be shot. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Well, let's look at 2 Thessalonians again, chapter 10, or chapter 2, verse 10 to 12. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, those that are in the act of perishing, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Brother Bram said, that's the lie. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, and with all deceivableness of unright wiseness. That's what unrighteousness is. Scofield says that the word righteousness comes from the Old English. Right wiseness is a correct understanding. The Weeks translation says that this deception is geared to the gullibility of those who are perishing, and that gullibility is caused by the fact that they did not have a love for the truth. He says, a very kind of wicked deception geared to the gullibility of those who are perishing. This gullibility being caused by the fact that they did not accept the love for the truth to the end that they might be saved. And because of this, God sends them a deluding influence, resulting in their believing the lie, in order that they all might be judged who did not believe the truth but took delight in wickedness. So if they are geared, that means that they were made that way. Gears interlock. When the one moves, the other moves. And if they are geared to the gullibility of those who are perishing, if they are geared, they were made that way. I like this illustration that Wiest uses. He says, of them that are perishing, they are geared to the gullibility, which, if you understand what a gear is, it is made in such a way that it fits itself to the gullible delusion. And in the book of Romans, Paul said, Romans 9:22, what if God, willing to show His wrath and make His power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? So if they are fitted to destruction, then they were made to be taken and destroyed. John 3 verse 19 to 20 says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds should not be made that his deeds should be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Notice, they will not come to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. Exposed. 2 Timothy 3 and 7 says, Forever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They can't come to the understanding of the truth because they will not give up their own thinking. And finally, in paragraph 180, Brother Ram says, oh, after that testimony, someone said to me, it's a good thing that I didn't say very much, because they probably had me in jail up there. But I just thought, there it is, the people who's taught knows. The wise shall know their God in that day, it said in Daniel. Yes, sir, see, the wise will know their God. They're watching for these things. Let's bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we thank You, Lord, because You have opened our eyes. You have helped us to see, Lord, that not all that say, Lord, Lord, shall enter in, but those that do the will of their Father. And Father, we know that You have come. We know that You have given us, thus saith the Lord. We know that we have no thought coming. We're not only knowledgeable of that fact, but we have a willing spirit to not add our own thoughts, to say it like Your prophet said it, to say it like Your scriptures say it. Your prophet taught us that the intellectual is trained to bypass the word. And we're thankful, Father, that Your Holy Spirit is within us, because, as You said, if we be any otherwise minded, You would reveal it to us. You would quicken us. And we know that You've given us Your Holy Spirit to convict us if our mouth says other than what You have said, if our life lives other than what You have declared. Help us then, Father, to be as Your Son Jesus, who said, the Son can of Himself do nothing, but whatsoever He seeth the Father do, that the Son doeth likewise. Help us, Father, to be like Your Son Jesus, who said, my doctrine is not mine, but Him that sent me. Help us to be like Your Son Jesus, who said, the words that I speak, the Father commanded me what to say, and thus I speak. And help us to be like Your Son, who said, Father, it is my will that You take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but let Thy will be done. This same Son said, it is written in the book, I have come to do Thy will, O God. May we be as the Apostle Paul, who said, I, Paul, a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we, Father, be as Your prophet William Branham, who came to the place where he could only say what You showed him to say. He would say, you know who I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for him. I'm helpless until he's here. May we be of such a nature, Father, as truly to reflect only those things which you have taught us, especially that concerning your relationship with your Son, Jesus. For we know that if we understand that relationship that you had with him, then there's a possibility, Father, we will understand our own role as sons and daughters of God. Help us, Father, in this, for we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The musicians would come forward at this time. And let's sing that song in Timothy. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord shed his light upon thee.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make his face shine toward you and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever.
God bless you all.